It was an exciting time at the church in Jerusalem. Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, and he had appeared in the flesh to many, many of the disciples and Christians. He had instructed his disciples. He said, I want you to wait till you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. 120 were gathered in an upper room and they had been in prayer for 10 days. They heard a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house that they were in. There appeared cloven or divided tongues like as fire, and it set on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and they spake in other tongues. Not unknown tongues, but other tongues. And all those that were gathered in Jerusalem heard the gospel spoken in their own language. And we read there in verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know, whenever I read stuff in the Bible, I always like to think about the logistics. How did they baptize 3,000 people? Now, they probably took them all down to the river, and they probably had all the apostles baptizing. But if there was only 11 people baptizing, that means they each had to baptize close to 300 people. You ever stop and consider how much time it would take for one person to baptize 300 people? And yet 3,000 people were saved, 3,000 people were baptized, 3,000 people were added to the church. Then we read down through verse 47, and verse 47 is my text verse tonight, the last sentence there, where the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. I mean, it just didn't happen on Sunday. It happened every single day. Every day somebody got saved. Every day somebody got baptized. Every day somebody was added to the church. Now, I would submit to you tonight that every church ought to want to grow. It ought to be the desire of every church to grow. First of all, it's God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, he wants people to get saved. And then he wants people to get baptized. I mean, that's the first step of obedience. Jesus was our example. He was baptized as our example. So he wants people to get saved. He wants people to get baptized. And he wants us to assemble together as a church. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So a church that's in God's will is a church that's seeing people saved, seeing people baptized, seeing people added to the church. That is a church that pleases God. And every church should want to grow, not only because it's God's will, but it's a sign of God's blessing. Blessing. God adds to the church, it's a sign that he trusts that church. You see, I believe that God will only send people to a church if he knows that they're going to get what they need there to help them grow in their Christian life. I believe that's why God sends people to different churches. That he knows that church is going to be faithful in preaching his word, and that church is going to give people that come help to grow in their Christian life. You see, God's a wise investor. I don't believe he'll send people to a church that's not preaching the gospel. I don't believe he'll send people to a church that's not baptizing. I don't believe he'll send people to a church that doesn't teach Christians how to grow. You remember the parable of the talents. He gave one five. The master gave him the five talents, turned it into 10. He gave another servant 2 talents. He turned it into 4. He gave the third servant one talent. That servant was afraid. He said, hey, I know my master. He reaps where he doesn't sow. He gets gain. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I try to invest this one talent and lose it, he'll be upset. And so he hid it. And when the master came back, he didn't did an accounting. And first one said, you gave me five. I made five more. Here's 10. Second one said, you gave me two. I made two more. Here's 4. Third one said, I was afraid. So I hid it. You remember what the master said? He said, I want you to take that one talent and give it to the guy that's got 10. Because I can trust him. And I believe that's what God does to churches that preach the gospel, see people saved and baptized, and help them grow. And a church that's growing is an exciting place to be around. It's exciting to see people saved. It's exciting to see people baptized. It's exciting to see people join the church. And by the way, that is the best cure and the best preventive medicine there is to keep problems out of the church. When a church is growing, people are looking outward. They're asking the question, who else can we get? Who else can we tell about Jesus? Who else can we witness to? Who else can we see come to know the Savior? Who else can we see get baptized? Who else can we see join the church? If a church is not growing, they're not looking outward, they're looking inward. And when we look inward, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see all the warts and the pimples and the problems that we all have. And that's what happens when we look inward. And so, how does a church grow? How does a church grow? I think the answer is in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. And they, the church, continued steadfastly. In other words, they kept doing certain things. They did them over and over and over again. Week after week, month after month, year after year. They kept doing the same things. We had a man visit our church not too long ago. He hadn't been here for about 20 years. And after the service, as he was going out, he paid us one of the greatest compliments that I think somebody could pay us. He says, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I was here 20 years ago, and you were doing the same thing. You were preaching the same thing. I said, you mean I preached the same sermon when you were here 20 years? No. I mean, you preach the same way. You have the same emphasis. Nothing's changed. I said to myself as he left, praise God. I don't want anything to change. But anyhow, the church, the Jerusalem church, kept they continued steadfastly in four things. And verse 42 tells us what they are. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This church in Jerusalem decided what they were going to believe, and they did not waver. They did not change. They did not fluctuate. They did not move. They continued steadfastly. They were unchangeable. They were immovable. They were stubborn. They said, this is what we believe. And regardless of how our world changes, regardless of how our culture changes, regardless of how much Satan attacks us, we are not going to change. I think I could sum up for you in 3 points what the apostles' doctrine is. I think, now there may be other things, but I think these 3 things form the basis of the apostles' doctrine. And these are things that this church believed, and they didn't change. By the way, these are things that this church believes, has believed from the beginning, believes today, and I hope never changes. Number one, the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. This book is the Word of God. Listen, it either is or it isn't. If it is, we need to believe it all. Amen. If it isn't, we need to throw it away. We cannot, this book is not a menu. It's not a smorgasbord. It's an all or nothing, believe it all or nothing, take it all or leave it all. The apostles believed that the Bible was the word of God. They were unchangeable. They were immovable. They were stubborn. And they said, listen, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter how people try to change it. This is the word of God, and we are going to continue steadfast in it. Now, if it is the word of God, then we need to believe it. If it is the word of God, and it is, then we need to live it. If it is the word of God, we don't need to go to the Bible bookstore and buy the Bible of the month and say, I've got a better Bible, because you don't have a better Bible. You got a perverted commentary that some man wrote to make money. We have the Bible, and I'm talking about the old King James Bible. I'm not talking about the NIV, RIV, New King James, HIV. I mean, you can give me all the initials. I haven't read them. I don't want to read them. I don't need to read them. This is the Bible I got saved by. This is the Bible I grew up with. You got a stubborn pastor. I am not going to change. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine. The Bible is the word of God. Here's the second point of the apostles' doctrine. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is not baptism. It is not the Lord's Supper. It is not church membership. It's not being a Baptist. It's not being a Methodist. It's not being a Lutheran. It's not being an Episcopalian. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. It's not Jesus and something else. It's simply Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the way to salvation. And again, you have a stubborn pastor. And we're going to be a stubborn people. We're not going to add anything to salvation. We're not going to take anything away from it. It, like I preached this morning, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And then the third point that I would put for the apostles' doctrine, after we get saved, our job is to go out and win others. Mark 15:16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we're saved, we know the way to heaven. We know Jesus as our Savior, and we keep it to ourselves. We are a selfish, miserable people. It's like having a cure to cancer, keeping it to yourself. It's like having an antidote to a poison and not sharing it. We have the key to eternal life. That key is Jesus Christ. He commissions us to go out and preach his gospel to the world, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We don't do it by ourselves. He promises to be with us to the end of the age. How does a church grow? We continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number two, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship. Now that word paints a picture. It means fellows in the same ship. It implies taking a journey. We're on a journey together to a destination. We're all going to the same place. We're all going the same way. And we have decided to travel together. And what that word means is that we figure out how to get along so that we can all get to the same place. We all have the same objective. As Christians, our objective is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. I want to be as much as like Jesus as I can. I want you to be as much as Jesus like as you can. I want to get other people in the ship. Get them saved so that they can be like Jesus too. Anything else is Satan trying to get us off track. Anything else is Satan trying to divide us. Anything else is Satan trying to get us off course. And that's exactly what he wants to do. Now, let me give you a couple of general principles about how to fellowship. Just a couple of them. If you can't say something good about your fellow shipmate, then don't say anything. Even if you say, well, preacher, I know something bad and it's true. Well, that's fine. Don't say it. Don't say it. Pray for them. Go talk to them. But don't spread gossip. That's no way to build up people. Amen. Our job is to build people up, not to tear them down. Spreading gossip tears people down. Here's a second principle. If somebody tries to tell you something, here's what you need to do. They want to tell you something about somebody else, say, just a minute. You get your note card out and said, and your pen, say, hey, I want to take this down. And they're going to say, why do you want to take it down? And you're going to say, because when you get done, I'm going to go to that person to see if it's true. If it's true, I'm going to pray with them. And I'm going to help them. And if it's not true, we're coming back to see you to get the truth established. Now, if you do that, 9 out of 10 people will say, well, I don't have anything to tell you. They won't. So, if somebody wants to tell you something, that's what you do. Here's a third principle. Mind your own business. If somebody has a job in the church and they've taken responsibility for it, stay out of it. You can tell them they're doing a nice job. You can even give them suggestions. But keep your hands off and keep your tongues tied.
Amen.
And then the fourth general principle for fellowship, remember you are not perfect.
Amen.
I am not perfect. Sometimes I hear people criticizing other people, and I want to say the same thing that Jesus did. You that are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You don't have any. They don't have any problems. You go ahead. You remember that story? Woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Law said to stone her. And you know, we read that story, and to be honest with you, most of us are like the men that brought that woman to Jesus. Somebody messes up, we want to throw them out. We want to tear them down. We want to get rid of them. We don't want them infecting us. I got news for you. We're already infected with what they're infected with. We're all infected with sin. And this place is not a shrine. This place is a hospital where sick people come to get better. And rather than throw them out, we need to love them back to health. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And I know I'm out of time. I only got 2 more points, so just hang on. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. Number 3, they continued steadfastly in breaking bread. Now, some people say, well, that means they eat together. Well, maybe. They probably did break bread together in that way. But I think what this phrase is talking about is that they took the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Together. They took the Lord's Supper together. And they did it daily. They did it from house to house. As you take the Lord's Supper, you remember what Jesus did for you. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. We don't do it because somebody tells us we have to do it. We do it as a reminder. And that's what Jesus said it was. This do in remembrance of me. We do it as a reminder of what Jesus did for us. And so here was a group of people that every day they took the Lord's Supper. They held that little piece of bread. They held that little glass of wine. And they remembered that the Son of God went to the cross for their sin. They remembered that he shed his blood for them. They remembered that his body was broken for them. They remembered that they were a sinner deserving of hell, deserving to go to that place of fire in the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, the place of darkness. And then they remember that Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
Every bit that they owed. Every bit. They continued steadfastly in breaking of bread. And then number 4, they continued steadfastly in prayer. Pray without ceasing. They prayed and asked God to bless their church. They prayed and asked God to help them grow as Christians in their individual lives. They prayed and asked God to help others grow to be more like Jesus. They prayed and asked for souls to be saved and baptized and join the church. And yeah, I think they even prayed for revival.
Amen.
Revival. I mean, you would say, preacher, why would they need to pray for revival? Their church was on fire. We can always get closer to God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit can always get more of us. That's where revival starts. It doesn't start out there. It starts right here.
Amen.
Starts right here, where the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. It says, hey, there's some areas of your life you haven't turned over to me. I can't bless you more unless I get more of you. The Holy Spirit doesn't force his way into any area of our life, but those areas of our life that we haven't given him, he's after us all the time to surrender, to surrender, to surrender. You want to know how revival starts? It's when Christians tell the Holy Spirit, you've got all of me. I want you to have all of me, every part of my being. I'm not going to hold anything back any longer. Take it all. We need to pray. We need to pray more. I'm so happy and pleased and enjoy immensely the prayer meetings the men have on Wednesday night. I'm so glad the ladies are praying, and from what a couple of the ladies have told me, I know they feel the same way that I do. There's power in prayer. I know on the Bible study on Tuesday morning, the ladies spend time in prayer. I know when we have the men's breakfast, we spend time in prayer. And I would just say, we need to pray more. I don't think a church can pray too much. We ought to look for opportunities to pray more. And so they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were steadfast in their fellowship. They were steadfast in breaking of bread. They were steadfast in their prayers. And the Lord added to the church daily.
Amen.
Such as should be saved. I remember a few years ago, we had a couple, an older couple, and they got saved. One of our ladies led them to the Lord, and she called me and said, Pastor, this couple has an unusual request. I said, well, what is it? She said, well, just a minute, I want you to talk to the man, the gentleman. He wants to tell you what it is. And he got on the phone. He said, Pastor, my wife and I would like to get baptized. I said, well, that's wonderful. I'll have the tank filled up next Sunday, and we'll baptize you next Sunday. He said, no. We don't want to wait till next Sunday. We want to get baptized today. I said, well, why? Why do you want to get baptized today? He said, well, we understand that it's the first step of obedience, and this was a Tuesday, and we don't want to wait till Sunday. We might die before Sunday. We're old. And we don't want Satan to tempt us and talk us out of it. So we want to get baptized today. I said, well, I'll meet you at the church. I'll fill up the tank. It will be cold. He said, we don't care.
Amen.
We don't care. And so I met him at the church. The lady that led him to the Lord was the only witness. They got in a cold baptistry together, and they got baptized.
Amen.
And as they were leaving, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we just kept the baptistry full all the time, and if people got saved on a Monday, we could baptize them on a Monday. And if they got saved on a Tuesday, we could baptize them on a Tuesday. And if they got saved on Wednesday, we could baptize them on a Wednesday. Say, preacher, you're crazy. I am. I wish that what was said about the church
in Jerusalem would be said about Fellowship Baptist Church. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for everything that we've experienced. It's been so good to be in your house tonight. And I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you have convicted them of their sin, that they plainly see that the penalty for sin is to be separated from their Creator, their God, forever. Help them to see the only remedy for that sin is what Jesus did for them on Calvary. Help them see the love, your love, God, that sent your Son to the cross. Help them see your love, Christ, that caused you to hang there, bearing all their sin. And Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that you would help them make that decision to receive Jesus as their Savior. Then I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that we would desire a church where you would add to it daily. A church where we know what we believe and we don't change. A church that we're all striving to get to the same place to be more like our Savior. A church that remembers what Jesus did for us every day. And a church that prays without ceasing. Father, help us to be that kind of church. Bless this invitation tonight. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what you tell us to do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.